Welcome to At the CR Quick Chat, conversations with community managers and social media practitioners. My name is Jim Storer, and I'm a principal at the Community Roundtable, a peer network for community managers and social media practitioners. You can find more about us at community-roundtable.com. Now on to the podcast.
Good morning. I'm Rachel Hoppe, and I'm with the Community Roundtable, and I'm very happy to have Patrick Quinn with me, who's with the Kansas Department of Transportation, and they have an online community called the Kansas Transportation Online Community. And Patrick, if you wouldn't mind introducing yourself, telling us a little bit about what you do, and then we'll kick off the conversation.
Certainly. I'm Patrick Quinn. I run social media for KDOT. We do indeed have KTalk, the Kansas Transportation Online Community. We also have an online interactive agency budget simulator so that citizens can submit their own proposed budgets for the Department of Transportation and make their
really
own suggestions. Pardon me?
That's very interesting.
It's pretty cool. One of my colleagues, Kyle Schneeweiss, wrote it on his own and put it up. It's available at www.kansastlink.com. which is the home of our statewide long-range transportation planning task force. And and then we also run a fairly aggressive Twitter presence. We do road traffic weather information from various regions around the state, and then I tweet at K.HQ on transportation policy, and I do media outreach there as well.
And is your background – tell me a little bit about your background and how you got into this.
Oh, boy. My background is somewhat varied. I came to KDOT from Colorado. I was recruited by the agency once they had decided to make this leap into social media. At the time, I was working as a commercial writer in Colorado. I was finishing up ghosting a World War II memoir for a veteran of the 2nd Ranger Battalion. Before that, my background is largely in media. I've been a radio station news director. I published a novel years ago, done a lot of freelance magazine work.
So very much content creation.
Yes,
of
very much.
Some variety.
Yes.
Okay, great. One of the things that I found most interesting about this, and one of the stories that I like hearing most, is how did you get to this point, which is who started this initiative? Who promoted it? How did it get to the investment level that it is today and the initiative level that it is today? And who are you trying to bring into the community? Who are you trying to talk to? Who's your audience?
To answer the last question first, our audience are the citizens of the state of Kansas. This is a relatively unique application of social media in government, according to the Pew Center for the Internet and American Life. KTalk is virtually unique in American government, the only site they could find that offered comparable functionality to the general public was then known as change.gov, and of course it's now whitehouse.gov. And I would much rather run a 700-person transportation community than a 2 million White House community, 2 million member White House community. We got to this point because our public affairs office is, frankly, a pretty enlightened bunch of people. And our director of public affairs, Julie Lorenz, who is, I think, a visionary when it comes to thinking about how government is going to look 5 years from now or 10 years from now, was concerned about the department's ability to reach out to the public. Departments of transportation are, you have to be very sensitive to public opinion, and you have to be very careful about making sure you project your message as comprehensively as possible, because we spend a lot of money.
Yeah, I was going to say there's a lot of big capital expenses.
Yes,
in transportation.
When you start talking about an agency, particularly in the Midwest, when you start talking about an agency that has a budget of $1 billion a year, this is a part of the country where a billion with a B still attracts a certain amount of attention. And of course, the economy's in the tank and revenues are down, and there are a lot of agencies that are struggling for money in a time of significant and ongoing budget cuts. The roads don't take care of themselves. So Julie started thinking about how to apply new media to our standard conventional mission of reaching out to the public. And this is before I came to KDOT. They looked at a number of options. They looked, for example, at predictive markets. And that would be, I don't think anybody's doing predictive markets for the public in terms of government policy. That would have really been something.
Yeah.
They retained a private consultant who ran down some options for them. And Julie and Kyle decided that the best way to reach the largest number of people with a technological platform that would have some legs and not be rendered obsolete by some new piece of technology next year was to start an online community.
Mm-hmm.
And they realized that that was something that was probably beyond the resources they had on board at the time, and that's when they brought me in. I spent 3 months learning how online communities work and reading The Social Organization. I think I mentioned to you in an email, and I blogged about this a couple of times, that your blog was one of the things that I read religiously when I was trying to figure out how
all
this stuff
works. Well, I appreciate that. Sometimes I don't know if anybody's reading it at all, so it's not just
Oh, you
that.
Believe me, yes. You were very helpful, and you led me, your blog role led me to Chuck Hollis.
Mm.
And Chuck's blog, A Journey Through Social Media, is, if you're going to start an online community for a large organization, you have to go read that first. Start with the first post and read it all the way through to the end.
Yeah, it is a great and I don't think that's a high-trafficked blog, but it's just critical to get some insight about how the evolutionary process works.
Oh, absolutely. It's one of the things I've noticed as government across the country and on all levels starts to engage with and occasionally embrace this notion of social media. It's just the nature of government that the first thing government does is start having a bunch of conferences. And they go to conventions and they write white papers and somebody puts together a PowerPoint presentation and before you know it, you're sitting in a webinar. And if you're coming at it from the position that we were at in here in KDOT, where the object is to actually practice the discipline,
mm-hmm.
none of that stuff is particularly helpful. And what's so enormously helpful about Chuck's blog is that he was a practitioner. He built an online community at EMC. And since the blog is effectively real time, he's writing about it while he's doing it, you see the problems arise, you see how EMC and Chuck decided to solve them, and later when we launched KTalk, over and over again, I had the same experience. I would run into something and I would think, oh, I read about this on Rachel's blog, or I read about this on Chuck's blog. I may not know the right thing to do, but I know something to do.
At least there's a guidepost. That somebody said, well, this is how we tried to solve the problem.
Someone's been down this road before. And so I spent 3 months doing that, and we went through some acquisition hoops. There's a lot of snake oil in the social media software business,
mm-hmm.
and we had some difficulty, frankly, finding a vendor who was capable of meeting our agency needs. But then we ran into leveraged software, and I spent some time talking to a client services rep at Leverage named Tom Pellucci. And Tom really, nobody should ever think of KTalk without thinking of Tom Pellucci because he just made it happen.
I love Mike and Amber and those guys. I don't know Mike specifically, but I've known Mike for a couple of years.
Yeah, they're a terrific outfit. And Mike indicated to me, Mike Walsh, the CEO, indicated to me that the company has a structural interest now, a long-term interest in moving into the government market. So I hope that this relationship has helped them in that regard, that they've picked up some of the I know for a fact that they now know Leverage now knows what it's like to deal with a government agency because
and it's very different having been in software myself for a while and actually I used to work at the Pentagon way back. I know that there's a big difference in government contracting from the enterprise sales cycle and I don't see. There's only a couple of vendors that are even trying to go after the government market right now. So it does make it challenging when you're a government office to find software because it's not even the software itself. It's often the sales process.
Exactly. It's the process and it's the support relationship afterwards. And I understand, I am certainly not a career-long government employee. I spent most of my time independent or on the private side, so I get it. But, the world is the way it is, and when you're dealing with a government agency, there's just not a lot of flexibility. And the people at Leverage were just fantastic. They, I would, generally when I called Tom, I was in a panic. oh my God, the sky is falling, and Tom would calm me down. and then do whatever it is those guys do to make everything right. You know, where you boot the community back up and it looks the way it's supposed to, and you're like, oh, Tom, thank you. You saved the day. That happened like 100 times.
Mm.
So I'm a huge fan of those folks. And without leverage, we wouldn't have the community. But once we got it and made the...
Yeah, so tell me a little bit about the community. I was poking around there a little this morning, and it seems like there's quite a few members, and you've got quite a few activities. It looks like you do a lot of content management there as well. Tell me a little bit about what you're doing there.
The idea was to create a landing page for anyone who was interested in transportation issues in Kansas. Obviously, there are parts of that audience that were particularly interested in. We're particularly interested in residents of Kansas. We're particularly interested in voters. We're particularly interested in legislators. But the idea is it's open to anybody. And
mm-hmm.
this touches upon a key fact that all government agencies that deal with the public are going to have to address in the next 2 years. And that is that the Facebook generation just doesn't care about what your snail mail policies are. They just don't care how you did it back in 1978. And more to the point, they won't do it that way. They'll just not engage.
Yeah.
And so if you want to reach those people, you have to reach them in the mediaverse that they're most accustomed to. The key decision we made in launching the community was that we would not permit the creation of any private discussion groups. Every page on the community site is open to everyone. And the advantage of that is that you comply with transparency regulations, such
well,
as an
really
Open Meetings Act.
Terms of service, which
yes,
the, can get you
the,
in trouble, too.
And there's a terrific fear that we had to deal with at the beginning that, let's say that we had among our members, and now we have a little over 700 members, let's say that among those members we had one of the Riley County Commissioners who went into a closed private discussion group to see what was going on in there. And unbeknownst to him, entirely coincidentally, two other members of the Riley County Commission were in that private room. Well, they just violated the Open Meetings Act. They didn't even mean to have a meeting, but the mere presence of the three of them, or whatever the number would be, constitutes a violation. And, of course, from their perspective, we would have sucker-punched them into that, which is a really, really bad thing.
It's a bad political move.
Right. So we decided right off the bat, no private discussion groups, no place where a member of the public could come and say, why can't I get into that? They can get to everything.
That's very smart because it makes it very clear.
Yes. But it does create a community management issue because, again, going back to Chuck's blog about launching a community at EMC behind the firewall, one of the things he saw almost immediately was that EMC, which is obviously an engineering-skewed company, all the engineers at EMC got together and they set up these rooms and they got this vigorous back and forth going, and the number of face-to-face meetings went down and the number of blast emails went down and a lot of collaboration moved into the EMC community. That wouldn't have happened if that community was open to the whole world, because nobody likes to do their work in front of an audience of millions. So we've run into that with KTalk. We are probably not realizing some of the intra-agency efficiencies that a community would otherwise provide, because particularly with transportation issues that are very close to people's hearts and pocketbooks, if you're thinking about replacing a bridge, well, then the nature of the process is at some point somebody has to draw a picture of a bridge.
Yep.
Now, there's no assumption that that first bridge drawing is at all like what the final bridge is going to look like.
But you set expectations and people.
Exactly. But if you print that thing, 5,000 people carrying pitchforks and torches are going to start marching through the streets of the town saying, we will not have this bridge. And it's not going to do any good to say, no, we're years away from the bridge.
Yeah.
This is just a preliminary drawing. So everybody's aware of that. And at least now, the way the culture works now, online culture works now, our people are not particularly willing to do a lot of intra-agency professional networking on the community because they're performing in public. And I get that.
Yeah.
And I wish
and
that
it
we
may,
could...
Do you think that we'll end up with a strategy where you may have a more collaborative network later that's completely different from the community that's open to the public?
There has been, I would really like to, now that we have KTalk, now that we have a community that's open to the public, I would really like to launch another one behind the firewall that is hosted on our own servers. where I think we would almost immediately start to realize some of those efficiencies and advantages. But this is a sufficiently new technology that, for the time being, I'm saying one online community at a time.
Yeah, let's figure it out for one first. Yeah. Smart. So what are your goals other than, I heard you say you want to reach a new generation of people, you want to aggregate content, you want to provide some transparency. Any other goals that you're after?
What we'd like to do is, in the short term, we see the community as a vehicle of two-way engagement with the public. You probably saw our landing page.
Mm-hmm.
That's our push content. You know, that's the page where KDOT gets to make whatever point it wants to make online, away from the regular agency page at ksdot.org. Behind that page, we're looking to generate back and forth with the public, be it standard public affairs stuff like receiving inquiries from the public about a beef they have with the agency, which happened in the very first week we were up. And we were able to resolve it. It was terrific. We had a guy post
the community. I love those early aha moments because
mm-hmm.
it's so important to getting people behind the effort.
Absolutely, and it was very encouraging for me, you know, because for all of us at the agency, this was sailing into uncharted waters.
Yep.
And we had a gentleman come to the community, and he is the public works director for a Native American reservation here in the state, and referenced an apparently long-standing disagreement with the Department of Transportation about the construction of a turn lane near the reservation, and posted on the community, said, who do I need to talk to get this fixed? And I didn't have the slightest idea, but I immediately said, I will go find out. And I found the responsible engineer, and they hooked up on the community, and the next day we had that fellow here at headquarters, and the whole problem was solved by noon.
Wow.
And you know, this was a guy who came through the door kind of unhappy with us and indicating that, you know, that this had been a problem for a long time, and he couldn't understand why he couldn't get any traction with the agency, and in 24 hours the problem went away, and that was a big moment for me. That was, as you said, that aha moment.
The biggest difference with this online communication, it's not that there's a new business process or you are saying things in new ways, but the speed at which you can find and resolve issues and connect
exactly.
people is amazing.
And they're grateful for that. You know, standard picture of government is this slow moving, and of course we can still be very slow moving. You can make a pretty good case that slow moving is smart when you're spending as much money as a typical DOT spends. But there are multiple occasions where an online community, two-way online communication, enables you to make some of the clutter and the mess that is associated with the relationship between government and the government.
Clogs in the pipe.
Precisely. You can just brush some of that away. And that is a terrific advantage, and we intend to exploit that. And there is also the fact that you can't be an agency on any level of government in the United States and spend $1 billion a year and not be very, very sensitive to media. And media is moving into the online mediaverse, you know, every day. And so we felt it was important to get out in front of that. And part of my job now is to make sure that media across Kansas understands that while the online community did not replace anything, all of our conventional forms of outreach are still running at 100 miles an hour. This is an additional track, but we want them to know this track exists. And in particular, media has just flocked to Twitter.
Mm.
And so we've had some success using Twitter, the KDOT HQ Twitter account, to steer people to content on the community. That seems to be working pretty well.
Yeah, that's a very well-proven use case just for bloggers, meaning that interaction between broadcasting it out to your audience while it's on your site, wherever it is good. So tell me about that. That's one of your aha moments, which is a great one. What are some of the challenges that you're dealing with?
It's a big transition to move from thinking about and dealing with the online world, the online universe, and tech-savvy people to dealing with the general public. I think, generally speaking, people like you and I spend way more time online than a typical voter does. We are more familiar with that environment. We know how to get what we want in that environment. And a lot of everyday citizens in America have very channelized online habits. They have a list of favorite sites that they go to and that they rely on to provide the content they're interested in. But it can be a little difficult to get them. It's the problem of waking people up to the possibilities of online government is it's a two-way street. Not only do you have to convince the stodgy old agency that they have to move their operations online, then you have to convince the people that this is the way to do it. And that they have to get used to the idea of coming around and checking out your website and making comments. It's been a terrific challenge.
It's a change in habit.
Yes.
Yeah, and it's no easier than change management is in large organizations.
And I think
you have less control over it.
Exactly. And I think that one of the things that we have to deal with every day in terms of running the community is that the level of public engagement is not what we had hoped. Now, that's about to change. We're launching a huge public outreach initiative probably next month that is going to be community only. It's going to be a bit of a laboratory experiment. We're going to see what happens if we rely primarily on KTalk for a major public outreach initiative. But up to that, I mean, up till now, we have seen a little bit of back and forth with members of the public. One thing we have seen almost none of is the classic Web 2.0 members of the audience talking to each other. And that's what we want. We want to host that conversation, and we think it's a great idea if we're not even part of it. We'd rather be a fly on the wall a lot of times and listen to the community talk about transportation policy. And while there has been, I don't want to overstate this, there has been some of this, but not what we had hoped for. And as I look at the metrics we have, the analytics we have for the community, the traffic is there. We're getting gratifying traffic. But getting citizens, and of course, some members of the people, some part of the percentage of the people that come to the community are online savvy. Consultants and government vendors and a handful of citizens who work in this business, they jump in and they engage. Mm-hmm. But the great mass of voters is still a little uncomfortable with this, and which is to be expected. Nobody else is doing this. So I think one of the ongoing challenges is educating the public and kind of letting them know, hey, it's okay. It's okay to post a comment. It's okay to, at one of our e-staff meetings before we ever launched, we dealt directly with the question of what are we going to do when a bunch of people get together online and their basic organizing principle is KDOT sucks. And that phrase came out of the chief counsel's mouth. You know, it was like, what are we going to do?
Yeah.
And it's like, well, we're going to let them say KDOT sucks. We're going to ask them why we suck and what can we do to make it better.
Yeah.
And now I'm almost at the point where I'm wishing for that.
Yeah, I mean, it is one of the hardest nuts to crack, and it is a tipping point issue. It's one of the issues that comes up again and again because communities take a long time to gestate. Like, there has to be the content, there has to be the people, then you really need to encourage the leaders to kind of converse, which it sounds like you're doing, and then the next step is getting those leaders to reach out to other people. And one of the things that's been interesting running the community roundtable and talking to a bunch of community managers, and I have this blog post in my head, but it's really, community management looks kind of like an iceberg. There's only a little part of it, which is your public participation on the site. And then there's all of this stuff underneath, whether it's talking to your internal teams and evangelizing or prodding specific community members to participate or, you know, whatever that is. But community managers' visibility to the public is a very small part of everything that they do.
That really sums it up. The word you use that resonates for me is evangelize. That is probably the single biggest part of my job. I have to evangelize within the agency because there is a certain amount of some of the people at KDOT accept the existence of the community but don't have much interest in it. It's a sort of passive engagement.
Yeah.
So I want to get them fired up, and then I want to get members of the public fired up, and I want to educate the media that this is how we're going to do business now. And the evangelism element never, ever stops. And the reason that I think this is important is that I think that the elections in Iran were a warning to organized government all around the planet. It hasn't happened yet. It will certainly happen in this country before the next presidential election, and it will probably, I think, happen in the run-up to the midterms. The American electorate is going to figure out, hey, we're all on Facebook.
Yeah.
And we're all on Twitter. And if we want to arrange a flash mob of 100,000 people in Times Square to protest something that Mayor Bloomberg has done, we can do that right now.
Yeah.
And government in the United States is utterly unprepared for that moment. They are utterly unprepared to reach out and engage with the governed online in real time. And in fact, government in the United States is largely populated by people who are appalled by that idea. And so I've been saying, I blog at a site called GovLoop, which is been, you know, Facebook for feds. And I think I'm viewed there as a little bit of a Cassandra, because I am constantly saying, you know, agencies that do not adopt these social media tools soon will have them externally imposed upon them. So you now have an opportunity to build this kind of social media infrastructure and decide on your own what your outreach procedures are going to be and what your policies are for dealing with the public. And if you wait 2 years, some cat you've never seen is going to walk through the door and say, here's how it's going to be, people. It's going to be Alec Baldwin and Glenn Ross. The fun is over, you know.
Well,
so
you know,
now's the time to get on the train.
That is a great place to end our conversation, because I could talk to you for a long time about this, because there are some interesting things going on, but that's a great call to action for the government people in our audience to kind of think about. And I talked to Brad Blake at the Mass Governor's Office, who's in a communications role for the government and trying to get the agencies all online. But there are pockets of you evangelists out there and doing some excellent work. And I really appreciate you joining me this morning for a podcast. And I think people are going to find it really, really interesting, especially those in the business community who are dealing with very similar challenges.
Oh, yeah. The similarities to enterprise, I get that. And I'm glad. Thank you so much for inviting me. I had a lot of fun with this. And I hope that now that I've done a podcast, maybe you'll send me an invitation to the community roundtable.
Yes, we'll see if we can hook you up.
Outstanding.
Thanks for joining us today on At the CR Quick Chat, conversations with community managers and social media practitioners, sponsored by the Community Roundtable. That's community-roundtable.com. Also, special thanks to Kit Seaborg and the team at bumpertunes.net for providing the music in this podcast. Thanks for joining us today, and be sure to check in next week for the next At the CR Quick Chat. Have a great day.